You're listening to the BBC World Service, and it's over to you. This week, we're lifting the lid on an historical BBC World Service department, which has been monitoring some of the world's most seismic events for 75 years.
The end-to-end the present war between France and Germany.
But it, too, has fallen victim to BBC funding cuts. Well, before the doors are locked for good, and I've got to say, it's a very impressive estate and building, we're taking one last peek behind the curtains of Caversham Park, the home of BBC monitoring. I'm Rajan Datar, and this is Over to You. In 1941, the BBC commandeered this stately home that I'm just approaching, just outside Reading in the southeast of England, and it, Caversham Park, became the BBC's monitoring headquarters. From Nazi Germany's occupation of Europe to the death of Stalin and the Cuban Missile Crisis, this unique service has been breaking news stories ever since.
What a reversing of history. We've been watching
here...
The report started circulating that Colonel Gaddafi had been captured there.
Due to a £4 million funding cut, journalists, academics and translators based here are to leave this country estate at some unspecified date for new offices. And here to greet me is Chris Greenaway, who's the coordinating editor of Caversham. Hello, Chris.
Hello.
What are we seeing in front of us right now?
We're standing in front of an 1850s country mansion built by a South Wales iron magnate. In the late 80s, we moved into a purpose-built west wing, which now houses all our monitoring operations.
Should we head there now?
Yes.
Now, Chris, you've been here for 35 years, but even before your time, obviously this building had a tremendous history. Where are we right now, for instance?
What we are now in is the largest reception room on the ground floor of this country mansion. When the BBC came here, it made this room its so-called listening room. And so, if we can cast our minds back to those days, there would have been rows and rows of benches here. They would have been arranged by language. So I can say that over there, in that end of the room, there were several benches, in fact, where, as I remember it in the 1980s, our Russian team was. Over there, there was where our Persian team sat. Our Arabic monitors sat here. In fact, there were so many that monitors in those days that we actually had to have overspill areas, but this was our central operations room.
How pivotal a service was monitoring to the World War II effort?
That's a good question, and I think at the very end of the war, there were many people who worked here who did wonder, did it actually shorten the war even by a single hour? All that we can say is that the government found it very, very useful indeed.
We are breaking programmes to announce the signing of an agreement between Britain and the Soviet Union for joint action in the war against Germany.
In terms of BBC monitoring's relationship with the Foreign Office, can you just clarify that for me? Let's just start historically. What was it like originally?
BBC monitoring was, in fact, set up at the request of the government. In 1938, the government had realised the importance of radio in international affairs. And so in early 1939, the BBC was asked to put contingency plans in place. The position continued up until really just a few years ago that we were primarily funded by the Treasury and serving customers in the Foreign Office and the Ministry of Defence and other government departments.
Which inevitably leads to the perception, at least, that in some way you are operating as a kind of spy service for the British government.
What we do here is really what I think many of our listeners really do every single day when they perhaps get home from work. They turn on the radio, look at a TV news channel, open a newspaper. We just do that on an industrial scale.
It shall be the policy of this nation to regard any nuclear missile launched from Cuba against any nation in the Western Hemisphere as an attack by the Soviet Union on the United States.
The Cuban Missile Crisis of 1962 came to an end when the Soviet Union agreed to the demands of President Kennedy. And the announcement was, of course, broadcast very promptly over the radio from Moscow and, of course, picked up here at Caversham. where we flash the news around the world, including via our American monitoring partners. And they were able to put it on President Kennedy's desk before he had, in fact, received official confirmation through diplomatic channels, and he publicly acknowledged that.
This government, as promised, has maintained the closest surveillance of the Soviet military build-up on the island of Cuba.
You're listening to an Over to You special from the home of BBC Monitoring in Caversham Park in southeast England. Due to funding cuts, the building is relocating and closing its doors after more than 70 years of breaking news stories. We're about to find out what's being monitored today. OK, so should we go meet a colleague of yours who I believe works quite a lot with North Africa?
That's right, Lina Shaikuni. And we'll go over and meet her now in the Arabic team area.
OK, Selina, so we are actually right in front of your monitors right now. What are you looking at?
I'm actually looking at a video about kind of a promotional video for armed groups advancing in Aleppo's south. At the same time, I watch four screens, so I'm watching different TVs, pan-Arab TVs, on while also writing my report and reading another website report as well on the other screen.
Is it glamorous?
at times. It's very hectic and it's a lot of responsibility, as we said. It's a lot to take in. It's difficult. We're here in Caversham and we're often sitting next to the window here, as you see, and you're covering something very awful like Aleppo, and then you see a group of ducks walking around because the grounds are really big, and you're like, what is this kind of alternative universe you're living in? But this is what we have to do, and this is the world we live in now.
Chris, the BBC say they are making changes in order to keep pace with the new landscape of digital and social media. What does that mean to you?
Nowadays, everybody is, as it were, their own monitoring service. Everybody can sit down. They've got search engines. They can find out so easily many things that are happening around the world. We need to understand ourselves what's happening, but then explain those stories in depth to our audiences.
I believe you are closing one office, I think in Afghanistan, but you're opening two new ones, aren't you?
Yes, we'll be opening a presence in Istanbul and in Jerusalem. And of course, looking at the map, it's no secret that those are both very full of news.
In the meantime, Chris, you've been here for 35 years. It is, in a sense, the end of an era when you leave this amazing estate. Is it going to leave you with some strong memories?
Oh, many, including in this room here. When it was a country house, it used to be the billiard room for the owner and his guests. And it's now one of our main meeting rooms, and indeed one of the main meeting rooms where we have video conferencing facilities, which not only draws together all the teams here at Caversham, but up on that video screen there, we have up to a dozen international offices everywhere from Delhi, across Central Asia, Russia, Ukraine, Africa, and so I'll have many memories of interesting discussions about world affairs that we've undertaken in this room.
So thanks then to Chris Greenway and Lina Shaikuni for allowing us a final peek before the curtains are drawn at the home of BBC Monitoring at Caversham Park. And don't forget, is there something that you'd like us to look into for you? Email over to you at bbc.co.uk, or you can call and leave a message on +44 144 960 9000, or you can tweet at over to you BBC. I'm Rajan Datar at Caversham Park, looking forward to hearing from you soon. Goodbye.
There are dozens of different podcasts now available from the BBC, including news, documentaries, science, business, arts and sport. For details of them all, go to bbcworldservice.com/podcasts.